Welcome to the Haunting, Unearthly, and Paranormal Stories podcast. Each week will be a different event, whether paranormal or some other strange and unexplained happening. Maybe even a haunting located near you will be examined and relayed to you. These events and stories are based on events and have been given to us by the people who experience these events in their own lives. These weekly journeys we take together will lead us down deserted roads, into the deep and dark forests, and through the doors of buildings we should not enter. Pull up a chair and join me as we take a step into the unknown here on the Haunting, Unearthly, and Paranormal Stories podcast. Just remember, believe those that you choose, or believe in none. It is your choice!
Howdy, folks. Welcome to another week here at Dan's Dabble in Babble, led by me, your host, Dan. I am thrilled to continue to tell you about my experience in Europe. You'll recall last week I shared with you my stories of my adventures to Paris, spoke a lot about my frustration with American Airlines, which I was just talking to another friend who had some bullshit happen with American Airlines. Two other friends, actually. Just talking about some difficulty with American Airlines. So, you know, just like, get your stuff together, American. That's my plea to really the entire airline industry, because also, let's have a moment as a family where we take a look at prices for flights right now. It is obnoxious, and I'm assuming that that's related to fuel costs and blah 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 economics. I'm just irritated with how expensive things are right now, but it's okay. We got in at a good time flight wise. We went to Europe, we came back, and it's wonderful. But before I get into talking about Europe this week, I just have to talk about something, because it's one of those things where, you know, I am someone who, like, when I get invested in something, I'm like, this has to last forever. And I want other people to support this so that it will be renewed for a new season. Let me start by spinning you a yarn before I get into what I'm talking about there. But I am someone who is obsessed with pop music groups. Like, love me NSYNC, love me some 98 Degrees, O-Town. Of course, obsessed with girl groups. I'll be honest, I'll dabble with Spice Girls, but I'm not a big Spice head. I don't know if Spice Girls fans have a name, but, you know, Destiny's Child, absolutely. I loved 3LW, but I think I've spoken on the show before how my apex of musicality was Danity Kane. And so Danity Kane was put together on Making the Band 3. So I started watching Making the Band 3, I think, in its second season. So history of Making the Band. Making the Band, I believe, was originally an ABC show. And the first iteration of Making the Band, they put together the boy band O-Town, the song All or Nothing and Liquid Dreams are their two big hits. Which, like, listening to Liquid Dreams is, it's just filthy. It's kind of, it's really unconscionable what they did with O-Town and Liquid Dreams. But that's neither here nor there. So Making the Band 2, I don't know if that's when it moved to MTV or if it was still on ABC, but Making the Band 2, they put together a band called The Band, which was a hip-hop group. It was kind of an experimental concept where I think they just really didn't have a vision, where it was kind of a rap group, but they also wanted like vocalists and musicians, and they just kind of threw, I think they ended up picking 7 people for it. I don't believe they released a single song before they broke up. So that's Making the Band 2. Making the Band 3, this is when, for sure, Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy Combs. So, you know, I have only loosely followed P. Diddy's career. And Bad Boy Records. He went from being Puff Daddy to P. Diddy, dropped it to just Diddy. Then after Making the Band, he had Diddy Dirty Money, which was really kind of a way to give Don from Danity Kane some work after Danity Kane was dissolved because of ego and poor management. But anyway, Making the Band 3 was put together to form a girl group. And at the end of the first season, they invited 3 girls, Aubrey O'Day, Andrea Fembres, and then there was a third one that was invited to continue on, but with the talent that they had in that first season, they made the decision not to put the band together because they didn't have it. And so it was not a guarantee for those 3 girls that those 3 girls were going to be in the band. They were invited back for season 2 of Making the Band 3, where they completely went back to the audition process. And it was, a whole basically starting from the ground up. But these 3 girls were finalists, and they ended up cutting one of those girls. So Aubrey O'Day and Andrea Fembres ended up making the band along with Shannon Bex, my favorite from the group, Juanita, who changed, like, went by the name D. Woods, and Don Richard. And those 5 girls made up. Eventually, they settled on the name Danity Kane, which was the name of a superhero that Don had been drawing as they were recording an album. So that's how they came to the name. Anyway, absolutely loved Danity Kane. And the reason why I give that backstory is because I finally, this show is in its second season. I finally gave it a shot, which I knew it was basically tailor-made for content that I am going to enjoy. Now, it's Tina Fey is a producer of the show. I don't know if she's a writer on the show, but to me, the show, it gives me similar vibes to 30 Rock. I mean, I think it's hysterically funny. And the music is honestly very good. And it's very self-aware, and like the show makes fun of itself and it's making fun of a lot of societal things. But the show is Girls 5 Eva. And I, in addition to loving Danity Kane, I love Sarah Bareilles. I think there is no bigger genius when it comes to songwriting talent, and just her voice is incredible. I'm sure I've talked about Sarah Bareilles on the podcast before as well, but I Choose You by Sarah Bareilles, I think, is perhaps the most romantic song ever written. I absolutely love it. But the show stars Sarah Bareilles, Renee Elise Goldsberry, whose biggest credit is Hamilton, Paula Pell, who used to be on SNL, and Busy Phillips. And the premise of the show is that these girls were put together in a similar way. It wasn't a reality show, but they were put together to form a girl group called Girls 5 Eva. And so there was a fifth member played by Ashley Park. And this is what the show does so incredibly well, is like it'll have these flashback scenes from like the group was put together in 1999, but like just even some of the things like the music videos that they've had from the late 90s, early 2000s with this group just looks so much like it just looks like Danity Kane. So I am just instantly locked and loaded, hooked on this show. Okay. But the big disappointment for me is, so Ashley Park's character died. She was swimming in an infinity pool and fell to her death because she swam beyond the edge of the infinity pool. And so the show starts with Sarah Bareilles' character, Don, is getting a mammogram, and there is a song that comes on the radio, and this rapper, Little Stinker, has sampled their song, Famous 5 Eva, to be featured in one of his songs, basically because the rights were so dirt cheap. So the four girls reunite to perform on Jimmy Fallon with Little Stinker, and they end up like ultimately they decide to get back together. And so the first season is really hysterical. The premise is that they want to end up performing at Jingle Ball to relaunch their career. And then the second season, they're in album mode. So they've been signed by a record label that is a spinoff of the Property Brothers. And they are working toward their album, but it's just like the lyrics, I think, are just so funny, but the songs are also just so dang catchy. And so I've been watching, it's in season two right now. There's a new episode every Thursday, but I've been watching interviews that the cast has done on YouTube and just watching so much. They have some live performances now, and it's like, I mean, obviously Sarah Bareilles and Renee Elise Goldsberry, incredible vocal talents, but Busy Phillips and Paula Pell can sing too. So anyway, I just have been completely hooked, and I can't stop listening to the song Famous 5 Eva. But the part that really makes me sad is at the end of season one, Paula Pell's character says, you know, I'm starting to think that Ashley faked her own death, which is the character played by Ashley Park. And so Ashley Park, I just think, is a phenomenally hilarious and phenomenally talented. I mean, as a comedic actress, she is just so on point, and she's so fabulous, beautiful. So it's like, it's such a tease that they get her for these flashback scenes, and they're continuing to have her for these flashback scenes. But it's like kind of there's an episode that deals with it. The storyline of basically, they think that it's a conspiracy that Ashley hasn't actually killed herself. So it's like there's hope that she's going to be more of a series regular, I think. But I don't know. But I just – it's that kind of – it's both very witty and hysterical, but also just so dumb. So I just want to read the read some of the lyrics of – Famous 5 Eva, because I can't get it out of my head. So it's gonna be Famous 5 Eva because forever's too short. Gonna be famous together because that's one more than together. But it's like obviously the joke here is it's a play on numbers, right? So I just Sara Bareilles writes a lot of these lyrics, so I don't know if this was written by Sara Bareilles, but it's like just for her to be more playful and fun is also just kind of phenomenal to see. But so it's, we won the prize together, our fame starts 3 day, it won't stop for morrow, we're girls 5 Eva, can we get a high 6, we're working 24/7 to keep you in 8th heaven. So it's you know, in that verse they count to 8. I don't know, I just think it's genius. I think the show is hilarious, and I really am hopeful that it will continue to be renewed, because I have been binging it like crazy. So now, instead of me talking about a random show on Peacock, you can take a moment, take a pause, and let's hear a quick word from our sponsors this week. Are you ready to launch your new career in coding? Treehouse has one of the best and most affordable online classrooms for you. At Treehouse, we've rethought the learning process and built a proven system to get you the skills and knowledge you need to achieve your goals. When you're done with a course, you haven't just watched a video, you learned, practiced, and absorbed a concept. Or choose to build a portfolio, create a network, and land your dream job with our bootcamp-style tech degree program. Land a dev job this year. Whatever your goal, we'll get you there. Get 50% off your first month as a podcast listener through our special discount link, teamtreehouse.com/signup_code/podcorncourses. Okay, thank you so much for indulging me in being able to talk about Girls 5 Eva. I haven't had anybody to talk about it with, so I would love it if you guys that listen to this wanted to watch Girls 5 Eva and reach out and talk about that as well. But it's, you know, really fun to have a reason to kind of go back in detail and look at the pictures from my trip, just kind of relive these recent memories. But we had an early train to Munich. And, you know, I've never done train travel before. It's obviously common in Europe, not common in the US. So, you know, I was just, for some reason, I was stressed about it. And like, I did not sleep well. I was just like, so the other thing about me and my favorite travel companion, and I do genuinely mean that he is absolutely my favorite travel companion, but the big difference between us is we differ in when we think that we should, you know, do things like arrive at an airport or arrive at a train station. So, you know, there's just unpredictability, right? With this was a Tuesday morning. I don't even remember what time the train was. I think it was supposed to leave a little bit before 7 a.m., and so it's like, okay, it's early. We should be fine, right? But we were staying in Boulogne, Paris, and it's like, okay, 25-minute Uber ride, I think, give or take. But it's like, what if there's traffic? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, also, like, yeah, I've never been to a train station. Like, just want to make sure that we can figure out the train, you know. So anyway, we get there, and we get there in plenty of time, honestly. Like, this was I think we got there not insanely early. We got there early enough that, like, I got a coffee and something to eat for the train ride, and we figure out which platform we're sitting on our train, and then the announcer comes on and our train's been canceled. So it's like, we had, so we were supposed to go from Paris to Stuttgart and from Stuttgart to Munich. The train's been canceled, and it's like most of the instructions are given in French, which, you know, we're in Paris, to be expected. But it's like, okay, this is a little bit stressful because we have no idea what's been said, except the train's been canceled. And so it ended up not being a big deal. We found another conductor that was like, no, get on this train. And then, so we went, we had to go to Karun in Germany, and then to Stuttgart, then to Munich. So it added about an hour of travel time, but no big deal. It was easy. And honestly, like, traveling by train was nice. Like, it's, you have, this kind of picturesque French countryside, and you have, kind of cool, views of these German hamlets that we were passing along the way. And, you know, I slept like a rock on the train. I have apparently no trouble. I can't sleep in a bed. I struggle sleeping in a bed sometimes, but you put me on a train, put me on a plane, and apparently I can be out like a rock. So, you know, it was a pleasant way to travel for sure. But, you know, it is kind of a long morning of traveling, and we haven't had like real food on the train. So we get into Munich, and we're staying at a hostel in Munich, and it was actually really nice. So I misunderstood even when we booked it, and I was the one that booked this, but it was really not much more money for us to be able to have. Like we were always going to do a private room in the hostel. We weren't going to do like the group dorm or anything. But we got a room with a terrace, which was, really nice. It was on the top floor. I misunderstood. I thought that it was communal bathrooms, private room or not, but no, we had our own bathroom. So like really the hostel was pretty nice. So we get there, we it's too early to check into the hostel, but they've got a luggage room. We, pack our luggage away, and then we, started to explore Munich, and we wanted to go to, now the thing about where we chose to travel and not being speakers of German, French, or Czech, these are also places with words and names that are difficult to pronounce. So I am telling you right now, I'm absolutely going to butcher a lot of this pronunciation. But, you know, I'm just a dumb American traveling through Germany. So Munich was, when I say this, as we planned the trip, I was excited. Like, I've never been that curious about Germany. Like, I know a lot of my friends are just really into German culture and have like had this affinity for Germany that I've just never really experienced. But it's like, okay, like I've obviously never been there, so like excited to see it. But in terms of where we were going, it was definitely like I was kind of viewing the Munich part of it as just kind of like time in between Paris and Prague, which I was really excited about. But all that to say, I really connected with Munich in ways that I really didn't necessarily expect to. But so we get there, we're absolutely starving. And the other thing is we were forecasted to have basically crappy weather for every, we had beautiful weather in Paris, but beyond that, we were forecasted for really crappy weather. Spoiler alert, we ended up having really pretty good weather. I mean, there were some gloominess and some overcast days, but in terms of it raining or storming or anything like that, didn't get a lot of that, which was great because we were out. Like, it just would have made things more challenging, but really had pretty nice weather. So we get there, and so our hostel is right by the train station, so that's really convenient. But then we are, so basically, I mean, I don't even know if calling it downtown is apt, but there's, I guess, like old town Germany, where or Old Town Munich, where Marienplatz is, which is this big, really cool town square. And it's just like, it's all very German, of course. I mean, we're literally in Munich, Germany. But it's just got these really ornate statues. And just, I'm kind of looking, scrolling through pictures as I'm talking about this and just like remembering the architecture that we saw is incredible. But it's this old, like it's there's no cars on the streets and Marienplatz. So it's just like, it was just really nice. And you have, you know, I don't know how to describe it, except it's just very German. Like you've got these tall clock towers and it's just so cute is really what I can say about that. And it looks it really looks like a fairy tale in a lot of respects. And we kind of poked our heads in some of these like really just incredibly old, incredibly beautiful churches. And it's just, you know, everywhere you look, there's some spectacular architectural feature, and that's really going to be what I talk about in terms of Prague, which I'll be talking about next week, because talk about architecture, I mean, just absolutely insane. So we go to Virtualienmarkt, and I am sure that I completely butchered that, but you know, in terms of food that I was looking forward to, I talked about the Michelin star restaurant in Paris last week and had really great food in Paris. But in terms of like food that just really gets me to my core, I love sausage. Love, 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 love sausage. I've tried going vegetarian several times. I'm always brought back by the sausage. Yes, I'm well aware that the jokes write themselves. But, you know, I am really excited to get some dang German sausage. So we go to this Virtualienmarkt and we immediately get a bratwurst, and Michael took a picture of me, and I'm just like so happy to have a bratwurst. I mean, we were both starving. We then went to so what the market is it's this old like German open air market, and there's kind of like some farmers market type stands. Like there's definitely some produce, but it's also like a lot of food stalls and kind of more street food. So we went to another vendor after. So we had our initial brats, and we were still kind of hungry. So, and it was still too early to go back to the hostel to check in. So we went to another stand and got a couple of German beers and got some more sausages and a pretzel. Am I making up the pretzel? No, there's definitely a pretzel there. Sorry, I am looking through the photos to kind of remember this. But so it's a nice day. We've got our beers, we've got our German food, and it's just like, at that moment, it's just a nice moment of relaxation because like the travel's done and we're just enjoying Munich. So anyway, we go back to check in at the hostel. The room with the terrace is really nice. We do more sightseeing. Really, again, just these incredible, incredible architectural features. I mean, that's the, just walking around and seeing things that are so old. I mean, this is kind of a cliche sentiment, but it's so true of, you know, what we think of old in this country compared to what old means in Europe is, it's just absolutely on another level. I mean, we're walking, just stumbling into buildings that are older than our country, kind of a thing, significantly older than our country. And, so we see Marienplatz, which is, again, the town square, which it's got this just really cool cobblestone courtyard in the middle. And just so like on all around, it just like feels like you're in a castle. I mean, it's it's incredible. And so then we decide to go ahead and go to the Hofbräuhaus, which is the original Hofbräuhaus in Munich, which Hitler gave several of his early speeches at. We have these two just giant steins of beer, which is just so much fun. And it's a nice day. We're in the courtyard. We went there at a time before a big rush. It's obviously a big tourist draw. When we are sitting there drinking our beers, we are like, okay, it's time to go. So we weren't able to get our waiter's attention, but we were able to get another waiter's attention, and we paid, I think it was like 10 euro for each beer, which it's like, it was a liter of beer. So, I mean, it was really not badly priced, especially for such a touristy, tourist trap kind of a place. So we pay for our beers and we're getting up to leave, and our waiter comes and is like, no, you have to pay. And it's like, what? We already paid. And it's like, he speaks a little bit of English, but it was just this really tense moment of like us being shouted out for not paying when we had, and he had to go track down some other waiter, which wasn't ours. And it's like, oh my God, what happened to this guy? Like, I swear we're not trying to run off without paying. We paid, we definitely paid. Anyway, we, then go back to the Airbnb, refresh, and, take the metro to this really cute neighborhood in Munich, which was, recommended to us by my best friend from high school. So my best friend from high school, after college, moved to Munich. And so she's been there for 7 years. And so she was able to recommend an authentic Bavarian restaurant. And so the neighborhood is Josefsplatz. And it was the name of the restaurant was like the something Gorshoff, again, these names, but, it was like, honestly, such a great meal. And so we had an aperitif of, Prosecco, which I thought was just a really nice, open to the meal. And then it's basically a German cheese ball that they serve with this rye bread and pretzels. I mean, it was a lot of food. So we went from Paris to Munich to Prague. So it's getting cheaper as we go, basically. Because for the meal, the beers, everything, it was really not expensive. And, so we have schnitzel. I had, it was called Munich schnitzel. It was served with horseradish, just excellent, excellent German food. Very heavy, obviously. But this really authentic Bavarian place that's just like, there were a lot of locals there. And it's just, I think the restaurant may have been, I don't want to say it was a really old restaurant, and it had been running for a very long time. So it was, you know, just excellent food, you know, again, the schnitzel it was great. That, I think, is the part of Munich that I really, really connected with. So then afterward, we went back to the hostel. So, and before dinner, we had we had tried to go to the happy hour at the hostel, but it was literally dead. So, we thought maybe we can, you know, meet other travelers, whatever, but it was completely dead in the hostel. So, the next day we, had our breakfast. They hostel offered walking tours, but not on that day, or it had been canceled that day. So we kind of just start walking toward the English Gardens, just again seeing just these really pretty parks and just this cool city. So the English Gardens are, it's basically equivalent to Central Park. It is a massive, massive park. I'm sorry, before we went to English Gardens, we tried to go to the Munich residence. We saw the Munich residence. We walked around outside. We wanted to go inside, and we did not have the appropriate masks, so they would not sell us the appropriate masks either, which seemed strange. So it was just like, okay. So we were not able to get into the Munich residence, but then we walked to the English Gardens, and there's this it's just like a really pretty garden, right? So there's a beer garden with big Chinese pagoda that has been there for a really long time. And so, you know, it's just really unique. But the really unique thing about the English Gardens is that there's a part of the river that the current is strong enough for people to surf on. So we got to see people surfing on the river, which is just really unique and was really cool to see. That it's like it just so random, but really cool. And then we ended up doing a paddle boat in the English Gardens, which was super cute, and ate at I think it was called Sea House. That may not be right, but it's a place where apparently a lot of like German celebrities go. We just got a salad there for lunch and had a beer. And I kept on saying like, oh my God, it's the cast of, I would just like make something up. And Michael's like, what's that? I was like, it's a German soap opera, obviously. So I'm sure we saw German celebrities. We just didn't know what the German celebrities or who the German celebrities were that we saw. So then we met up with my friend Joanne, who again was my best friend from high school. So that was really cool to see her. She took us to this bar that is in this, it's just a boat on the side of the highway, like this big old boat. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden it starts hailing, and it is so loud that we're like sitting across the table shouting at each other to be able to talk to each other. And it was just hysterical, but it was really nice to just catch up with Joanne, and see how well she's doing, and just a lot of fun. So that was we spent a day and a half in Munich. And you know, I would so like Michael has said, my boyfriend has said that he would go back for like Oktoberfest, and I would agree with that. Like I think we spent the right amount of time in Munich. We both kind of felt like we connected with it and enjoyed it more than we were anticipating. And you know, part of that is just, you know, being on the mode of vacation, I think, and having a great travel partner. But it was really cool. It was really, that was a big surprise for me. I don't think, if it weren't for this trip, I don't think Munich would ever have really been in my radar in that way. But I think we spent the right amount of time. Like, I don't know what we would have really done with another day, maybe actually go into the Munich residence or something like that. There's certainly more to do and more to see. But I feel like I got the flavor of the city. And I mean, literally got the flavor of the city. The other thing that we did before we met my friend for drinks and dinner is there is this place that's right by Virtualien Market, and let me see what it is called. Let me see what that is called because it matters. So Alte Udding is the name of the boat. But the sausages that we had. Okay. Sorry. We went to Cafe Frischut for a Schmeissnudel. And again, like, I know I'm pronouncing that wrong because when we ordered it, it was just a whole thing. And then so it's basically like fried dough. Kind of similar to a funnel cake, honestly, but like heartier than a funnel cake, I guess. But so we had coffee and a Schmeissnudel, and the woman was like, make sure to put sugar on it. It was just this really cute cafe. It was nice. But then I just loved watching. It was like this old German lady. And like that's like basically so this was probably like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or so. And it was just all of these old German women coming in for coffee and a Schmeissnudel. And I just watched this German like dump like half a canister of sugar in her coffee. And I was like, God, I respect this. I love this place so much. But yeah, the other really interesting thing about Munich is in there, like, it's like you're going into the metro, but they basically have like an underground city. It's basically like a mall under the sidewalk where they have, I mean, they've got clothing stores, they've got restaurants, they've got like pharmacies. And like you actually had to walk through that. Like there's certain places where you can't cross the road above ground. You have to go underground. And so I thought that was really just unique that it was like an entire city and entire, just an entire ecosystem under the actual city. But that's my experience with Munich. It was, like I said, a big surprise in the best way. It was so much fun. Definitely recommend. I mean, incredible beer, incredible sausage. And the English gardens were absolutely beautiful. And we lucked out weather-wise all around. So, because it actually rained when we were in the English gardens, but it rained when we were eating inside. But anyway, now I'm just kind of rambling. I don't know if this is, great storytelling or not, but we talked about Girls 5 Eva. We talked about Munich. So now it's time for you to go follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan. Follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. Rate the podcast 5 stars. Share the podcast. Let's just keep this train going. And I will have to conclude my Europe trip next week, which, you know, kind of, it's like that sadness of vacation ending. It's like I'm reliving that sadness now, which is, I don't know, kind of an odd feeling, I guess. But thanks so much for listening. I will be back here with you next week.